The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Happy Tuesday. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Joining us on today's episode from way out west, the City of Angels, is Charlie Smith. Charlie, how are you doing today?
Doing all right. Fans can find me at Smith_MLB.
Wonderful. Also joining us on the podcast today from the Grand Strand, aka Myrtle Beach, is Terry Cushman. Terry, how are you doing?
I am doing excellent. Got the 911 on speed dial because this is totally legit. We're calling the cops. But I can be found at Cushman MLB, the podcast account at Bastards_Boston. We're on Instagram. And find our new blog at Bastards of Boston on Substack. Just Google that. It'll take you right to us. You can subscribe to that as well and get all the notifications.
Very well. Come interact with us. Come chat with us. We always love to talk about the Red Sox. But yes, as Terry mentioned, this is the totally legit or calling the cops episode. And how that works is we got a couple of scenarios that we're going to lay out and we're going to discuss. And we have to essentially say if we think it is totally legit that it's going to happen, or are we going to call the cops and say that's not possible, that scenario will never occur. With that being said, the first one that we have up tonight is David Hamilton will lead the league in stolen bases. This is all of the MLB. So the first scenario is, will David Hamilton lead the league in stolen bases? Charlie, is this totally legit or are you calling the cops?
Well, here's the thing. So if we're talking about just AL, I think it's totally legit. I'm going to double down and say in baseball, I think it's very, very possible. David Hamilton in 47 games has 18 stolen bases, giving him the benefit of the doubt. That's a stolen base every game and what, two games and a half? Eli De La Cruz, for example, is at 36 and he's stealing one almost every two games. I think that David Hamilton, if he can continue this pace, is gonna get there. I think he'll definitely lead the American League because Eli's got 10 on the next guy in the American League. He's third right now in the American League. In the event of an injury or him just like completely falling off the mark, I still think he's going to be able to steal bases, or if he's not hitting, they're going to bring him in as a pinch runner. I think it's possible. I'm just going to say totally legit. He just stole four bases in one game. So I think anything's possible for somebody like David Hamilton. I'm going to say totally legit.
Terry.
Last I checked, the Reds were starting to kind of put it together pretty well. And I think Eli De La Cruz will still continue to steal bases at a pretty good clip. De La Cruz has been caught six times, Hamilton only once. So the ratios are a little better for Hamilton. But I'm actually going to call the cops on this one. One of my concerns here is I just don't know that Hamilton will continue this torrid pace with his average, with the on base. If he does, great, more power to him. But that's a big mountain to climb, and then it's a separate mountain to climb to get the stolen bases up there. And I mean, you got some games against the Orioles. Is he going to be stealing on Adley Rutschman? I think the Yankees will be a little bit more prepared for it next time as well. If he doesn't steal four bases tonight, I mean, he's sitting on 14 compared to 36. So I think it's a little early for me to say that that's totally legit. Now, he did steal 70 bases in 21 21- 2021 or 2022 down in the minors. So he's a prolific base stealer, but I just don't know that he'll get there in 2024 at the major league level.
I too have to call the cops on this one. I love the optimism that that Charlie laid out, but I guess the rational individual in myself is just I can't see the math happening. We have a lot of young talent that is getting playing time. Hamilton's already missed a chunk of the season, and you know, while his initial role on the team was to be, you know, kind of that pinch runner, that fast guy to come in to steal bases, I think he missed out on a decent bit of time where you got to stack those 2, 3, maybe even 4 stolen base type games. And I don't necessarily see that continuing to happen. You know, is he going to get on base 2 to 3 times a game? Probably not. Can he steal 2 bases each time he's on base? Absolutely. He did it tonight on the series finale against the Yankees. But for me, I just can't see the math lining up for him to lead all of the majors. As Terry mentioned, you know, De La Cruz and the Reds, they're heating up. They're going to continue to push the envelope and try to manufacture some runs. He does get a bit of a benefit by Acuna, you know, being out for the season. That's another major base stealing threat that he doesn't have to contend with. But I just don't see him being on base enough to get to that overall number to lead the major leagues. The second scenario that we have is the Red Sox do not offer Tristan Casas an extension this offseason. Charlie, do you think that is totally legit, or are you calling the cops?
Well, the Red Sox have a history of not offering deals to players that they probably should have probably three, four years in advance. You have the Mookie Betts saga where we see him now wearing blue. You have the Xander Bogaerts situation, which I'm happy we escaped. We have the Rafael Devers one, which ended up going, I guess you could say, the right direction, but at a significant cost of $80 to $100 million more than what it possibly could have been. And then the more infamous one of the John Lester when we lowballed him. I don't think the Red Sox are going to offer him an extension. The Red Sox offered 2 extensions, and that was a lot for the Red Sox to start this year. But we're also kind of bleeding out from some of the deals that we made with some of our players that are currently on the IL for the season. And I don't think there's enough behind Tristan Casas that's going to give them the, yeah, we need to extend him right now mindset, even though he's had a decent start to the season. There is that injury risk with Casas. In 22 games, he had 6 homers and 10 RBIs in .244. Most of those that damage is there. Like you know that he can do it. The question is, can he do it consistently? And the answer is, I don't know. The ceiling, we don't know what it's going to be for Casas. He's only 24 years old. I think that this will end up being another one where we're going to end up overpaying to get Casas to stay in Boston, because we're not going to be doing it in 2024 going into the 25 season. So yeah, the Red Sox do not offer an extension. Totally legit.
Terry.
I'm going to say that it's totally legit. They don't offer him an extension, but coming into this year, Casas sort of had the leverage. You know, he was one of the best players from May forward last year, or June forward, whatever it was, over half the season. And, you know, I started to get anxious. I'm like, do it. Lock him up. Get it done. While he's still early into pre-arb territory. And then this past winter, they did offer him an extension, and the terms have never been released. Casas just said it wasn't appetizing. I strongly suspect, and I'm speculating here, that whatever they offered him was in the neighborhood of what they offered Rafaela, because that's easy to turn down if you're Tristan Casas at this point. Like, he should have had an extension worth probably 100 to 120. spread out over the next 6 or 7 years with option years tacked on, expensive option years to incentivize him to take the deal. And it didn't happen. And it was a big topic throughout spring training and even the month of April. And I'm just wondering now, this is what gives me pause. I've said that it's totally legit. I don't think they're going to do it. But if I'm wrong, this could be a situation where Costas kind of reflects on things and says, well, you know what? I am injury prone, as Charlie was just saying. You know, I had an ankle problem in 2022. I'm a big guy, not the most durable guy. Maybe I need to, as an insurance policy, just take the money now and still have a shot at a massive deal later on. So I don't know what the priorities are going to be for the Red Sox. We only have $154 million committed for next year. So there's wiggle room to get this done if they choose to do it. But will they? Is the big question.
I think this one is totally legit, and I think it's for two reasons. The first reason being the way that the Red Sox like to operate. Both Charlie and Terry mentioned it. This is not a team that is, you know, proactive in locking up talent early before it gets, you know, to market. We saw it a little bit with Bayo and a little bit with Rafaela. I guess we saw it more with Rafaela than Bayo. Bayo put together a very good season last year and was rewarded with a contract. But and the second reason is, unless Costas has a great second half of the season when he comes back from injury, I don't know if this team is going to be motivated to try to get him under an extension. Now, there is an opportunity for them to lowball them, but with, you know, the belief that Costas has in himself, you know, his insane commitment to being the way that he is, in light of all of the negative attention that it might bring or all of the flack he might get for it. And I think it's very commendable that he continues to go about it the way that he wants to go about it. He's going to be himself. He's going to be true to himself. He's going to stay true to his values and true to his routines. I think that is very commendable. And I think that might just be too large of a void, because Costas knows what he could be on the upper end if he stays healthy, what he can produce, and the Red Sox might be trying to be buying low with that $154 million worth of salary already committed. So, you know, you have upwards of $75, $80 million of wiggle room. And so for me, I think that's, you know, too many hurdles for them to cross in one off season. I don't know if there's going to be anything that Costas can do, to motivate them to try to get that paperwork done. The fact that they were working on it in the off season and didn't get it done concerns me going into this off season, especially since Costas was injured for a large part of that. The propensity for this front office to lowball homegrown talent concerns me as well. So for that, I am going to say that this is totally legit that the Red Sox do not offer Costas an extension this offseason. Terry, you had something you wanted to add?
Yeah, just a general question for you guys. I mean, do you have any pause at this point, given the fact that he is injury prone? And I'm trying to think of a player right now to compare him to that struggled with injuries, and I'm sure there's a number of them. I'm just not coming up with any. But part of me, like, there's this little voice in the back of my head telling me, no, just ride this one out, just see where it's gonna go, you know. Like, I'm a little bit less urgent now on getting it done versus 4 or 5 months ago.
Forgive me for forgetting, the shoulder injury that he had last year, was it something that he could have played through but didn't because of where the team was, or was it something that he needed to be shut down for regardless of how the season was going?
Charlie's on mute.
Yeah, I don't remember, but I'm going to say this. At the end of the day, you can have as much pause as you want on certain players. Tristan Costas has never given us the impression that he wants to leave. He's never shared an inkling of not wanting to be here. I think if you offer him the Rafaela contract, yeah, you are lowballing him, because we know that Costas could potentially be that 35-40 homer guy. I think Terry, you would agree with that? You think he can hit 40?
Yeah, Yeah, I think he could.
So he knows his value, and he's going to wait until he gets it. And here's the thing. If the Red Sox see him hit 3,100 in 2025, I don't think that should drive the price crazy high, because that's not necessarily going to guarantee that he's going to have a 2026 campaign just like that. So I think there's going to have to be a little bit of give from both parties. I think the Red Sox are going to have to pay a little bit more than what they're expecting to pay. And I think that Casas is going to have to understand that there have been some injuries already. He has an aggressive swing. There's no way you can, you know, not say that. But realistically speaking, he is, from proof, he's one swing away from being done for months. And that doesn't bode well with the 25 per year contract. If we're going to go long term and go 7175 for whatever reason or whatever we're going to do, you know, he still has how many more years of arbitration?
At least one.
So maybe, you know, 8140 or 8130 is something in that range. So what does that give you? It gives you 16 million per, you know, maybe he takes, I don't know, 130 for seven, something like that. That gives him about 18.6 million average. I'd be willing to do something like that for Tristan Casas if he's willing to sign. Yeah, and you've locked up multiple bats and you have a couple of arms too. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say he's not eligible for arbitration until 2026. So we'll have him next year at pretty cheap money.
Yeah, I guess my opinion really kind of hinges on how that shoulder would have been last year. You know, if we were making a playoff push or we were in contention and it was something he could have played through, then I would have a lot less pause, you know, if he was just shut down for maintenance. But if it was something that was, you know, another season-ending injury, then you get a little bit more trepidatious about signing that long-term contract. But the high end for this player is just so tantalizing, right? You have the defense, you have, you know, the baseball IQ, and obviously you have that bat plus the batter's eye. You know, he does take a lot of walks. He does work the count. You know, very rarely does he go up there and have a 2-3 pitch at bat. You know, it's usually 5-6-7, and there's value in that, just seeing pitches, getting that data, working with other hitters, you know, sharing that knowledge. And so, you know, while it might not necessarily be, you know, that unleaded 35-40 home runs, you know, there's still going to be value in a player like Casas. And if you could get him for that 7-130, I think that would be a heck of a deal.
Right now, I mean, I don't have strong opinions either way, but I'm a little bit more cautious than I was previously. And as we found out tonight when he was in the dugout doing the interview with ESPN, he's a very intuitive guy, so he's probably going to take a very intense, you know, analysis of his mechanics and streamlining it in a way that's not going to injure him. I mean, he's had a shoulder problem, which was fairly minor last year. I can't remember if he even went on the injured list, and, you know, a relatively serious rib cage injury this year. So he has to figure that out. Also, his date of birth, if you want to feel old, January 5th, 2000.
Nope, don't like that.
Could you imagine if he was...
Love it for the team.
Yeah, it's just on paper. It's like, what? You know, because my mind still thinks it's like 2014. You know, I'm like, it's just this whole... I remember New Year's Eve 1999 into 2000. That was the year we all thought our computers were going to die. Remember that? And then, you know, so it doesn't seem like all that long ago. And, you know, but here we are, right, a quarter of a century later, just about. But getting back to Casas, I'm rooting for the guy. I like the guy. I'm a big fan. And I hope we figure it out. But I hate that I say this like 8 times a night, but we got a lot of lefties too. So there's like a bold move that's going to piss everybody off is going to happen. I don't know if it's this July. I don't know if it's next winter or perhaps next July or the following winter, but there's going to be a painful trade that happens and we're going to be like, oof, and we'll see.
Alrighty, the next one that we have is, will Tanner Houck be the starting pitcher for the American League in the All-Star game? Charlie, do you think this is totally legit, or are you calling the cops?
Terry, what is it when you disagree, you call the SWAT team, you call the police, you call who else?
Like when I disagree bad, I probably go straight to SWAT. I mean,
yeah, SWAT. We're just gonna SWAT it.
I haven't called the Secret Service yet, but
is that higher?
Oh yeah, I would say.
Go ahead and call them too. Is there someone higher than the Secret Service?
The National Guard. I don't know.
My mom. Like I don't know. Like there's just. No, there's no way. I mean, it'd be amazing. As a Red Sox fan, yeah, of course you want it to be Tanner Houck. But as a baseball fan, I don't know how you give it to somebody other than Luis Gil or Corbin Burns. Both of them have just been fantastic this year. And if Tanner Houck had a little bit more run support, I think, yeah, maybe there's a chance. But last I checked, Luis Gil has what? Doesn't he have like 10 wins on the year? He's got 9. Thank you. So like he's 9-1. Tanner Houck has not had the wins to match, and he's lost far more than Gil. I think he's only lost one time this year. The strikeout numbers, if I'm not mistaken, he's third on that list. Luis Gil is just having a ridiculous year, like an absolutely bonkers year. And I mean, maybe in a start it changes, but I really don't think it's going to change that much. In my eyes, it's going to be Luis Gil or Burns. That's it. So yeah, calling the Secret Service.
Terry.
It's a tough one. I think I'd put Skubal ahead of Burns, honestly. But I'm gonna say it's totally legit. I don't know. I mean, their ERA pretty close. It's essentially a dead heat there. Houck has pitched 11 more innings than Gil and given up 24 less walks. So, I mean, these next 4 or 5 starts out of these guys are critical. You've got Gil, Houck, Burns, and Skubal. It's going to be one of those 4 that get in. The manager is going to be Bruce Bochy. I'm not sure he's got a favorite in mind it could come down to fan voting, though. So I guess I shouldn't go on a tangent like that. But, you know, the New York market is a little more rabid than the Boston market right now with the Yankees doing so well. So perhaps Gil will get a number of, he'll get a surge from the New York market, but I don't know. I just Tanner Houck is putting together a great season, a 2.08 ERA, a whip of 0.95. Tanner Houck, if you put a microphone in front of him, he's almost as entertaining as Tristan Casas. And if you want to bolster the propaganda, you need to get Jamai Webster into that dugout and do some more Tanner Houck interviews. And the Nesson crew could do it as well. He's going to be a guy that gives some great sound bites over his career. It's fun when the one time he was in the studio watching him and Papelbon banter back and forth. It was pretty entertaining. But I don't think there's a slam dunk pick right now. I just don't. I think any of those 4 can take over in the next 3, 4, 5 starts.
Usually what ends up happening for the starters, though, is they're going to go with the teams that are winning. Luis Gil is on a winning team. The Baltimore Orioles with Corbin Burns, a very much winning team. I mean, Seth Lugo has 10 wins this year. He's the only American League pitcher with 10 wins. He's playing for the Royals right now. This is a guy that signed 3 years for $45 million. I'm terrified to hear what we said about Seth Lugo, about all of us saying, we don't want Seth Lugo for 3 years or $15 million.
You said that. I wanted him.
I can't remember if I was in that boat.
You destroyed the idea of that. You were all with Micah and I. Yeah. Well,
I put him higher than Tarik Skubal, who's playing for a crap team. No offense, Skubal, but dude, you played for Detroit, man. So Lugo would be higher up on the list than Skubal right now. And I'd be shocked if Skubal ends up in the top 3.
I got to call the cops as well. I don't think Hauk is going to start the American League All-Star game as much as I would like to see it. Charlie kind of stole my thunder there by talking about the teams that are winning. The main difference is Hauk doesn't have the counting stats that are different enough from a Luis Gil or a Corbin Burns to give him that, you know, that bump per se, right? We saw DeGrom win a couple of Cy Youngs on some mediocre seasons. The same with Felix Hernandez. You know, normally the Cy Young goes to the player with the most wins, and then the rest of the counting statistics. I think both of those guys won it with a win-loss record around 500. As great as Hauk has been, as light out as he has been for the Red Sox, he just hasn't blown the other two pitchers away statistically enough for him to get that bump. You know, if the Red Sox want to get, you know, angry about it, get online, get those votes in, I would love to see him start the All-Star game, but I don't think it's going to be there. Anything else that you gentlemen wanted to add on the Hauk point? All right. We'll take it to our fourth and final totally legit or calling the cops scenario. This one might be fan fiction for some. Will the Yankees finally win the World Series? Charlie, is this totally legit or are you calling the cops? The Yankees finally win the World Series.
First off, I just want to say I'm really looking forward to the episode right after the All-Star break when we get to say, okay, let's see if we were right or we were wrong and Terry's wrong on the starting pitcher for the American League here. So you're smiling now, but it's not going to happen. So as far as the Yankees are concerned, do I think that they finally win the World Series? The answer is no. I still think that the two most powerful teams in baseball right now are the Phillies and the Dodgers. And the Phillies have a guy, Alec Bohm, who has 6 homers in over 300, has 57 RBIs, is 5th in the majors there. That's just him. Yeah, you lost JT Realmuto. I don't recall how long he'll be out for. Is it season ending? Have they revealed that?
Oh, no. Only a month.
Only a month. Okay. Yeah. Guess what? The Phillies can weather that storm. I'm not worried about that. They also have probably the best 1-2-3 in all of baseball. The team that comes close to that would probably be the Dodgers there. I don't think the Yankees are there, even with Heel and Garrett Cole, because when he comes back, we still don't know if he's going to be 100% locked in or not. Marcus Stroman is an absolute bum. We saw that in the third game of the Red Sox-Yankees series. He couldn't even hack it against the Red Sox. So, no, the Yankees will not win the World Series in 2024. As it stands, they should be more concerned about what they're going to be doing with Juan Soto. And recently we were asked about, you know, my specific take was specific, and I forget the actual question, Terry, you're going to have to weigh in here. When I was talking about Juan Soto and Aaron Judge being like the most prolific 1-2 in 80 years, I forget what the question was that you posed. It was something that we'd done in the stack. Do you remember what it was?
Let's see. We were just speculating on which team Soto would play for, and
that's what it was. Boom. Yeah. It makes the most sense that he's going to stay in New York, and I think the Yankees are going to be a ridiculous team because they have the two best hitters in baseball, arguably. If not two, then two of the best three. We can throw Shohei Ohtani in there as well. Shohei's also a freak of nature. They're so good, but the problem is I don't know how they're going to be able to make it with the glaring holes that they're going to have. Giancarlo Stanton, getting older. DJ LeMahieu, getting older. Anthony Rizzo, getting older. I can keep going. Trevino just had 9 stolen bases in one game against him. They have so many glaring holes. Anthony Volpe struggling immensely. Outside of Luis Gil, there are really no lock-in starting pitchers. Carlos Rodon got rocked. So he's good, but not great. I just don't know. I think the Yankees are still one or two pieces away, and they're going to have to add at the deadline. And I don't even know where they are on the tier of 1 to 30 for bottom line, you know, or even farm systems. I don't even know where the Yankees are. And I don't think that they're going to be able to compete with the Yankees with the Phillies and the Dodgers. I think whatever the Yankees try to add, the Phillies or the Dodgers will be able to do the same. So no, they're not winning.
Terry.
I'm going to call the cops. I think the Phillies are going to win it, but I don't think it's a huge gap between the Phillies and the Yankees. When looking at the trade deadline here, the Yankees, their two biggest needs are both corners of their infield. Anthony Rizzo has just been hot garbage, and thanks to Dominic Smith's bad throw and Bernardino kind of blocking his path, Rizzo hurt his wrist, and who knows? I mean, his season was in the dumpster anyway. And then over at third base, you have DJ LeMahieu, who looks basically cooked and highly injury prone guy, just like Rizzo. They have that Oswaldo Cabrera kid who has been one of their higher end prospects. He could easily take over at third, but you know, he's hitting 237 right now. He does have 5 dingers, 23 driven in, an OPS of 625. That's about 100 points below the league average. So I don't know how appetizing that looks. So the Yankees are going to have to get at least one corner infielder, and I would say one solid reliever, just as an insurance policy. If you're worried about Gerrit Cole, he punched out 9 or 10 guys in his last rehab start. So I don't think there's a ton of concern there. I mean, he's throwing hard, firing on all cylinders. I don't think, you know, there's going to be many blips there. And even if there are, they're 25 games above 500. He literally only needs to figure it out by October. So while I'm calling the cops and I like the Phillies a lot better, I mean, their lineup is just robust. I mean, this is the Phillies. Realmuto will be back. You got Harper at first, Bryson Stott at second base, one of the best second basemen in all of Major League Baseball right now. Alec Boehm, Trey Turner is back this week. Brandon Marsh just came back. You got Castellanos and, of course, Kyle Schwarber. That's robust, and I think they're sick of coming up just a little bit short, and their path to getting there is somewhat similar to Boston's under the Dombrowski era. It took them a few years to get it exactly right. I mean, what do the Phillies need? Arguably nothing. They'll probably do something, but you know, maybe get Taijuan Walker the hell out of that rotation would be one. So get a, you know, mid to back end starter so you don't have to trot him out there. Dombrowski did give him a terrible contract, I will admit. I mean, I'm not crazy about the Turner contract, but other than that, there's really no bad contracts that he's responsible for. He didn't sign the Harper deal. I think that one's going to work out anyway, but man, I think the Phillies are going all the way. Like, they've got destiny written all over them in 2024.
The teams that you guys are mentioning are also teams that have done it before. They're teams that have been there before, or maybe not done it. The Phillies haven't won a World Series as they're currently constructed. So, I mean, I'm also going to call the cops because it's like the inverse of the Brady effect, right? It's, you know, you can't pick against Brady until he's dead. You can't pick the Yankees to win it until they've done it, because they every year feels like it's going to be their year. Every year is, you know, this will be the first World Series since 2009. I mean, you look at 17, you look at 21, they had a great team. 18, they had a great team, and they've come up short time and time again. And for me, the real reason I think they're going to come up short is that starting rotation. You have Gerrit Cole, who, as great as he is during the regular season, just does not get it done in the postseason for the New York Yankees. You have Carlos Rodon, who has been a shell of his former self. You have Nestor Cortes, who is just a jester on the mound. He is an absolute clown show that is trying to sneak outs through hesitation pitches, through weird mechanics, through quick pitches. I am not a fan of him at all. Stroman is, I would say, a solid 3 or 4. And, you know, Luis Gil obviously is having a remarkable season, but what's going to happen in October when those lights are bright? Now, Terry, as you mentioned, that offense is unbelievable in New York, and they've got players all over the place. And are they going to be aggressive? Is, you know, are they going to get those corner infielders at the deadline to kind of push them over the edge? Time will tell. But until the Yankees are holding a World Series trophy, it's hard for me to say that it's legit that they're going to win the World Series. So I will be calling the cops as well. Anything else that you gentlemen wanted to add tonight? Alrighty, we will wrap it there. I hope everybody has a great day. Thank you for checking in with us and take care.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.